D-Mace Finnegan and Donick 102.5, the game broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. As you all know, there was a commotion at Titans practice yesterday. A skirmish, a scuffle, a confrontation, maybe even a kerfuffle.
Between, or a rhubarb.
Or a rhubarb. Between Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons.
I like rhubarb.
I like rhubarb a lot more. Again, it's such a good one.
Again,
it's such a good word.
Again, I associate rhubarb with rhubarb pie.
I get it.
Willie got me on rhubarb.
He went deep. That's why I like it.
Bravo, my friend. That's the big-ass word bell.
Exactly.
If we're looking for a sponsor for our big-ass word bell. So
yes.
Anybody who wants
so any
to.
So doorbell companies?
Together or? At CromwellMedia.com. Yeah,
exactly.
So Jeffrey Simmons and Cam Ward did not address reporters yesterday. Brian Callahan addresses reporters before practice. So nobody talked on this. Well, other players did. We played clips from Jarvis Brownlee. Other players addressed it. But the people involved, Jeffrey Simmons, Cam Ward, and by extension Brian Callahan, did not address the skirmish at practice. Jeffrey Simmons last night on X addressed it by saying this. Quote, LOL, yeah, y'all doing way too much. It's practice. It's football. Blank happens between the lines. But y'all letting these reporters blow up something that happened at practice says a lot. Trust me and one, meaning Cam Ward, is good. So after practice today, I was at practice, and the way it works during training camp is that reporters approach players as they are leaving the practice field. You can't go in the locker room yet. So there were a lot of reporters lingering around Jeffrey Simmons because they wanted to get his side of the story. We're going to play what Jeffrey Simmons said, and then I'm going to share with you a couple of things I did not like about it. Here is what Jeffrey Simmons said in response to the dust-up with Cam Ward at practice.
Yeah, if you feel like yesterday crossed the line because of...
I'm going to address it. At the end of the day, yeah, quarterback... Hands off the quarterback. Anybody on this team know, everybody in that locker room know, I love the hell out of my guys. Happened at practice. You know, people on the outside, you guys, y'all blowing it up. Shouldn't get blowed up. The training camp, temper flares, move on. And then that day, you know, can't touch the quarterback. It's the same thing. If we joint practice and somebody touch our quarterback, trust me, I'm going to be the first one in there. So I respect the hell out of our offense for having their quarterback back, having our quarterback back. But at the end of the day, you know, it's football. We, you know, offensive line, defensive line, trenches, it's hot, temper flare. We are tired. At the end of the day, we family. We moved on from it. We're not going to keep talking about it each and every day. It happened yesterday. We came back to work as a team. Yesterday, we left it on the field. Came back, got the correction, moved on.
So hands off.
I'm done talking about it. That's it. Any football questions, you know, that's that.
So hands off the quarterback. You
Next
put
question.
Your hands on the quarterback, and it's our fault.
Anybody got a football question?
That's a football question, Jeff.
So that was Jeffrey Simmons addressing the skirmish with Cam Ward at practice. That was today after practice. And there are a couple of things I did not like about it. And I was there. I was standing right behind Paul Gaharsky when he asked those questions, which I did elicit a chuckle from me when he said, those are football questions, Jeff, which is true. Paul is right. There were a couple of things.
He's at a football practice standing on a football field.
Yes.
In theory, anything is a football question.
Correct.
And it happened on a football field.
That too. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of things I did not like about Jeffrey Simmons' response. The first is blaming the media, in scare quotes, the media. There is a lot of distrust, I would say, involving the media in this country. So blaming the media is an easy target, because if you blame the media, you're probably going to get a lot of support. So I did not like Jeffrey Simmons blaming the media for, quote unquote, blowing up what happened at practice. Now, I know that some of you agree with Jeffrey Simmons. It wasn't a big deal. Boys will be boys. It's 100 degrees outside, it's football practice, tempers flared, all of those things. And you would be right about that. But that does not make, that does not, let me rephrase that. This is still a story. When the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, who is a quarterback, gets in a skirmish with the best player on the team, one of the best players at his position in the NFL. That is a story.
Right, and so it's really not about what Jeffrey Simmons thinks is a story. The fact is it was the lead heading on ESPN's website. That's usually a measure I look at. It was the number one item on their newsreel. So by definition, that's a story.
It is absolutely a story. Now, I can only speak for the three of us. We discussed it yesterday. I don't think we were blowing it out of proportion, but it is a story. When the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, who also happens to be a quarterback, gets into a training camp scuffle with the best player on the team, that is a story. So that's the first thing I didn't like from Jeffrey Simmons' response. And I am careful to criticize players who I have not covered because I don't know Jeffrey Simmons. Mm-hmm. And to quote the late, great Floyd Reese, Jeffrey Simmons would not know me from a jar of Vicks. So I am careful to criticize players who I do not cover. But that was the first thing I didn't like, blaming the media. Here's the second thing I didn't like, the not taking questions. Now, Jeffrey Simmons may have felt that he addressed everything that was going to be asked in that statement he gave when reporters approached him. And we have had a lot of conversations, gentlemen, about Jeffrey Simmons's leadership qualities and whether or not he is a good leader. But the Titans portray Jeffrey Simmons as a leader. I imagine Jeffrey Simmons considers himself a leader. Leaders answer questions. So the next question, next question, next question. Anybody got a football question? I have no time for that. If you consider yourself a leader, again, you all may not think Jeffrey Simmons is a leader. The Titans appear to believe that Jeffrey Simmons is a leader. Again, I am going to assume that Jeffrey Simmons has taken it upon himself to be a leader as a veteran on the team, one of the best players on the team. I assume Jeffrey Simmons has taken it upon himself to be a leader, to take on a leadership role. Leaders answer questions. I did not like that. Other than that, I think he said what a lot of us wanted to hear, I think, in that response. I did not like the way that Simmons conducted himself after practice.
See, I mean, I understand and get it. You know, maybe it was, you know, because Paul asked the question. And
I think Paul's relationship
isn't the best either.
One texter, Caleb, says, PK not respecting the next question is right on brand. And
yeah,
I love
so.
It.
It's pretty obvious that there's something going on. There's a thing between that runs back. A long time.
I think it may have been part of that. I'm not going to excuse it. Listen, I think this is what I would advise, Jeff. There are a bunch of smart individuals over there in the media relations department. There were smart people there years ago. But I think in this situation, it's not necessarily what you say is how you say things. And I would just offer this advice to Jeff. When you are clearly the outside of the quarterback, you are clearly the face of this franchise. Whether you want to be or not, you are the face of this franchise outside of Cam Ward. You are the biggest personality on this team. And when you are the biggest personality on this team and you are the face of the franchise, usually that goes to the quarterback, but you are that guy. I think quarterbacks are built for this when they're little. For some reason, quarterbacks and the great ones, they were made to be quarterbacks and lead. Not so much so like defensive linemen, because they're different type dudes. Wide receivers, they're different type dudes. We lead in our own way. Defensive line, they lead in their own way. But Jeff, you are the face of the franchise outside the quarterback. And what I would advise you to do is this. When these questions are asked, you can just simply answer it. Well, you know, what you said wasn't as bad. It got sort of contentious at the end, and I know why. But you can clearly get through this by saying exactly what you said, but then saying, hey, listen, We're good. Any more questions? All right, Jeff. Well, what? Hey, listen, I'm going to keep on answering the questions, but Cam and I are okay. Things are perfect.
Right.
We're moving on to the next day. Yes, it happens, and I understand it. We talked about it. The coach and I talked about it. That's between us. But that will not happen again in regards to my quarterback. But we're fine. I understand why y'all are upset. I get it. But that will not happen. We're in heat of battle. I should have restrained myself, but it happened. But we've moved on. Now, if y'all want to continue to ask me these questions, great. But I'm telling you that I am done answering the questions about the quarterback. Plain and simple. I think when you say it like that, then if you still want to answer the questions, then fine. But I've already warned you. Like, yep. Hey, listen. I understand why y'all want
to
know.
To my answer
exactly.
That I just gave you.
Absolutely.
Nice.
That's all you got to do.
Say that. Yeah, politely say, I've answered that. I'll repeat it again. Maybe one time you say, mm-hmm. I'll repeat it again. Cam and I are good. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have put my hands on him, but it was a competitive practice.
You exactly.
Know, you could tell that they had done mm-hmm. their preparation. Mm-hmm. He was prepared for that. Like as the question's coming, he's like, I got it. I know mm-hmm. what you're going to ask. Let me give you my answer. He went through it. It wasn't the smoothest thing. I even think that he sounded a little bit like he was just off the field.
Yeah, he was tired.
Out of breath.
Yeah, out of breath.
He's
yeah.
tired. You're not going to be super clear and
hey,
crisp.
Hold on, Willie.
With
fellas,
your talk. Take your time.
Yes, fellas.
They'll wait on
they
you.
They will wait on you. I've said this a million times. They will wait on you. They don't press you. Jeff, I guarantee you, Jeffrey, if you would have sat there for 5 to 10 minutes, nobody would have moved.
Just to collect your thoughts a little bit more and be ready, because he knows that this is one.
Exactly.
It's not your run-of-the-mill, yeah, we got after it today, we had a good practice. Like, everybody knows what he's going to ask. So the tone, I think also you can diffuse mm-hmm. if you're not defensive, and you can laugh it off a little bit. Cam and I had a good laugh after practice. Some guys are better than others at being able to do this. So, Adam, I agree with you. It's never a good thing to say next question. I think to Derek's
yeah.
point, if you can achieve the same thing. You're not offering any new information. You're repeating politely and say, you know, I've already answered that. I'll refer back to what I just said, etc. You're offering nothing new in the subject, and people get the message. And then the final thing I would say, too, is I think too that he's defensive because of what has happened before, right? I think he's got it built up. Instead of taking a deep breath and relaxing, he's just not adept. Even the media, like you said, the media relations can take you so far, but then you've got to be able to execute it. And some guys are better than others, and I do think that Jeffrey Simmons has a little bit of distrust in some of the media that covers it, for right or wrong, right? I'm not saying who's right and who's wrong with that, but there's a little bit of angst going in and defensiveness on the front end, right? And mm-hmm. and so you knew there was going to be a follow-up. He should have known
yep.
there was going to be a follow-up, right?
Exactly, and this is why I think, and maybe again, they went over it. Or maybe they thought it's not a big deal and they didn't talk to Jeffrey about it. If they did that as a media relations department, then that was completely wrong.
Right, because you can say, I didn't think it was as big a deal.
Exactly.
But you acknowledge mm-hmm. that it was the number one story on the ticker.
It's a big
for
deal.
ESPN.
Exactly. It's a yeah. big deal anytime you get into it with a quarterback.
Especially
it's a big deal.
The number one overall
exactly.
pick in the NFL draft.
During training camp where there's no other news going on. It's a slow news day. So that it vaults up the ticker. It's not Monday after mm-hmm. a slate of NFL games, right? There's nothing going on. There's no college games. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. So that's why you have to treat it accordingly.
Jeff just got, again, Jeff, I think he just needs to understand that whether he wants this or not, there is a huge microscope on you right now. And I mean big. Whether you like it or not, Jeff, and anything that happens concerning you it will be magnified. Do I, as a former player, think it was a big thing? No, I don't. And I said that yesterday. But to other people that are writing stories and are reporting on the team that you are the biggest leader on, and it involves you, then it's going to happen, Jeff. So whatever question may have came your way this morning, I just think that you could have saved yourself a lot of heartache or a lot of whatever if you would have just came out today and answered it the way you answered it, but reiterate, hey, listen, it's over with, we're done. If you want to ask me about it again, I will repeat the same things I did. Cam and I are fine. We're fine. It happens. I shouldn't have put my hands on my quarterback. It will never happen again. But things like that happen. We're good. That's all you had to say. I think he said in a roundabout way, but I think PK really
listened,
PK really got on his
right.
Yeah, twisted.
That's between him
and PK. Yes,
that is a big factor in this, and it's unfortunately it's much more on the athlete to get over that
exactly
because the journalist will unless
he's
it's
just
really
doing his job.
Line,
he's doing his
PK
job.
PK is being PK, but if you listen to his answer, Adam, would you agree that you could tell the bullet points are in there of what he wanted to say?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
he said it a few times.
Yes,
so that was okay. So, if I'm doing a media relations training, I wouldn't give him a failing grade.
No.
I would give him about a C. That was an opportunity to diffuse something, and he missed on a chance to do that.
In my experience, there are players who do not pay attention to what is written or said about them. There are players who don't pay attention themselves, but people in their lives do. And those people in their lives, family members, friends, will send them these things or they will relay them secondhand. Things will be lost in context. And then there are players, there are athletes who do read and hear everything that is said about them. I am fairly confident from afar, with that caveat, from afar, that Simmons falls into the final category. Jeffrey Simmons reads and hears everything that is said about him. I get the sense that Jeffrey Simmons, sorry, Derek.
No.
I get the sense that Jeffrey Simmons cares how he is perceived. And that is why I think his natural inclination is to take a defensive posture when dealing with the media. Now, for example, after that exchange that we heard, Teron was asking questions about Brian Callahan and some of the maturation that Brian Callahan has shown as, I think he used the term, a manager of people. And Jeffrey Simmons didn't quite understand the question at first. And he's like, what do you mean by that? But said it in sort of this defensive tone.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that Jeffrey Simmons probably has, to use the word I used earlier, a general distrust of the people who cover the Titans every day. So as I was sitting there listening to Jeffrey Simmons speak, again, I am careful to criticize players who I have not covered because I don't know Jeffrey Simmons. Jeffrey Simmons does not know me. I will never call Jeffrey Simmons soft because I certainly have no leg to stand on calling a professional athlete soft. I am not doing that here. I just think that Jeffrey Simmons does himself a disservice when he handles himself in these situations when there are quote-unquote controversies with the Titans or something that he does. I just think that he doesn't diffuse those situations. Oftentimes, I think his responses make them a little bit worse.
I think because of what has happened over the last two seasons, he's in defensive mode now. So anything that may seem, not good about him or that is written or said that is not good about him, he's going to get very defensive because he's been hearing all of these things over the last 2 years. And some of it he's caused. But he's hearing he needs to be traded and all this other stuff and how he's not a leader and this and that. And you know, I would advise him, and it's hard, but I know it's hard to do, but I would advise him, just don't pay attention to it. But he can't, and he won't. He will continue. That's just his personal. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that, because sometimes you use that to motivate you. But I think Jeff is at a point now where he's on a defensive about anything that comes from the media here. It's not even the media national. Titans ain't getting that much national news.
No.
But it's about the guys and girls that are here. And in particular, certain guys. Ain't no girls on this list. Certain guys that he's become defensive toward, no matter what the question is. And unfortunately, I mean, it's not going to change anytime soon.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on Jeffrey Simmons' response to the skirmish he had with Cam Ward at practice the other day. How do you think Jeffrey Simmons handled it? 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Trevor Maddich will join us. I am curious for his thoughts on this. We will also break down the Titans preseason game against the Falcons from over the weekend. Looking forward to getting Trevor's thoughts on all of that. That is coming up next, 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Trevor Maddich, who is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. So, Trevor, of course, the Titans made headlines yesterday when Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons got after it a little bit at training camp. Now, there is no footage of this, so we are only going off of what was reported. But here's my question for you, specifically about Cam Ward. How do you feel about Cam Ward being in the middle of it? Do you like his chutzpah, for lack of a better word, being able to poke the bear, so to speak, with Jeffrey Simmons and get mixed up in that sort of thing?
Nope. I don't like it at all. I do not like it at all. Now, it would be one thing if Jeffrey Simmons rushed the passer and after Ward threw the ball and was looking downfield, Simmons shoved him and then Ward shoved him back. That's necessary. Ward would have to do that. But you're right, there's no video of this. But, you know, I've read, I don't know, a dozen different accounts of it. And I'm going to explain what I gleaned from that, and I want you guys to tell me if that's what you understand as well before I go on, okay? Yep. So my understanding is they were in a red zone drill. Cam threw a touchdown to Calvin Ridley, and then he ran up to celebrate, ran up to Jeffrey, pushed Jeffrey in the back. Jeffrey turned around and shoved Cam in the face, and then the offensive line jumped in, and there was a brouhaha for a little bit of time, and then it was over.
That is correct.
Is that what you guys understand?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then there's a lot to unpack here. One is from Jeffrey's standpoint. One is from the media standpoint. And one is from what Jeffrey did. One is what Jeffrey said to the media afterwards. But to talk about your question directly, Adam, about Cam, I thought this was a ridiculously immature thing for Cam to do. Just a ridiculous. I'm not saying Cam's an immature man. I'm saying that this particular act was immature. Because when you think about it, they're trying to build camaraderie with this team. They're trying to build cohesiveness with this team. Cam, his effort over the course of any given practice, wearing a red jersey so no one can touch him, amounts to cardio. His frustration happens when, gee, he missed a receiver or a receiver fell down. Oh, okay. That's when the quarterback gets frustrated. Meantime, Jeffrey is battling every play against some of the biggest, most violent, most athletic men on the planet. One of them often is J.C. Latham, the right tackle. Those guys are going at it every play, one way or the other, when they're in drills where it's not just walk-through drills, right? Sometimes you win, and sometimes the other side just gets under your pads and drives you back and embarrasses you. And that's the nature of the game. You don't like it, but you accept it, and you line up and run the next play. So after hours of doing that, Cam throws a touchdown pass at the end of this practice Jeffrey has his back turned. Cam runs up and pushes him in the back. Well, guess what? From Jeffrey's standpoint, you don't know who pushed you in the back. But anytime you get pushed in the back, that's a fight. Sorry, that's a fight. Now you turn around. And Cam did his little zombie move, show up, mocking, in your face kind of move, right there in front of Jeffrey. And Jeffrey shoved him back. Didn't punch him. Jeffrey shoved him. Now, Cam walked up to a guy that had been physically battling, another 300-plus pound guy, for a couple of hours, shoved him in the back, and then mocked him to his face at the end of that long, hot practice. Now, I don't care if they're buddies off the field. It doesn't matter to me. If your buddy's off the field and you want to give him grief, give him grief after you shower up and get dressed and everybody cools down. I understand that Jeffrey is a guy who does a lot of chirping, a lot of trash talking in practice. So does Cam. So does J.C. Latham. But in this kind of a situation, you make physical contact and then you mock him to his face, you should expect to be pushed. Now, what's happened is this instigated with an unnecessary mockery by the rookie quarterback. We're talking about it on talk radio. Fans are tweeting about it left and right. The media is talking not just Jeffrey about it. They're talking to Jarvis Brownlee. They're talking to the coach. They're talking to everybody. This is this big old massive giant story that's a huge distraction, and it shouldn't exist at all. Because the quarterback should have had enough respect for his star on defense to not walk up and push him in the back just so that he would turn around to be mocked. Now, I think that was a terrible move by Cam. Now, that doesn't exonerate Jeffrey. You can't put your hands on the quarterback, but right now we're just talking Cam. And I think that Cam, he should apologize not just to Jeffrey, but to the coach and to the fans for instigating what is a huge distraction for a team that doesn't need distractions.
No, you're right in a sense about that, Trevor. I look at it from this standpoint, because and I think it's allowed in a sense because one, because of what happened some weeks prior when Jeff and Cam were going at it, and everybody loved that. And yes, it was verbal, and it was back and forth sparring, and they loved that. The fans loved it. So when your quarterback does this in practice, the fan base love it. Why? Because we haven't seen this. We haven't seen an alpha dog on offense that's going to get in someone's face the last two seasons, and we've been screaming for that on offense. So when Cam does it, listen, I'm in agreement with you. Cam shouldn't have went up to him and bumped him because you're going to – with a defensive guy, and you explained it right, Trevor, with a defensive guy, they've been battling, and he's just going to go off. But I would rather have that from an offense that has lacked that for the last two seasons or the last 2 years than to not. You know, because this team is looking for an identity. But I get what you're saying. But I think because of what happened initially last week or 2 weeks ago, when another situation comes up like this, the mocking and the celebrating, I think fans are looking at it as, this is what we've been wanting. And Cam is looking at it as, I did it the first time, there was no big deal, so the second time shouldn't be a big deal either. And I know after it was all said and done, they didn't think it was a big deal. But like you said, you can't, as a quarterback, you got to understand what's going on. And as a defensive guy, you got to understand, even if a quarterback does that, can't put your hands on them. That's just the way it is. There are positions and players in sports that no matter what, they can start a brawl. But you better not touch that guy or girl. You better fight everybody else. And I think that's what Jeffrey understood. But in the moment, like you said, as soon as I got pushed, I ain't trying to look who it is. I'm just turning around and mushing the first person I see that I believe who pushed me. And it was the quarterback. So I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. I think the way he answered the questions, I would have liked for it to be a little bit different, but it was what it was. So I agree with you that, you know, Cam shouldn't have done it. It was immature to do, but because he had already did it weeks prior, he probably thought it was okay. And then again, this is, you know, you for you and us, Trevor, if we would do exactly what you said, wait till we go in the locker room, and then we would rib you in the locker room. and we would have fun with it. But these kids nowadays, they're not waiting to get in a locker room. They want to show you right then and there so everybody can see it. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know. Would you have done it? No. Would I have done it? No. But that's what these kids are doing now.
Now, Demas, I think most people agree with you. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, when Cam was standing up to for himself with Jeffrey and John with him and all that stuff, I thought that was great, too. Mm-hmm. The thing about this, though, I see this as different because I don't think it was courageous. He knows that nobody can touch him, so he can mock anybody he wants. That's not courageous. That's easy. And then I don't think it was leadership by Cam. Leadership, if he wants to go celebrate and if he wants to have some good-natured ribbing of the defense, the way to do that is to run into the end zone and celebrate in a big, loud way with Calvin Ridley, who caught the pass, not to shove the defensive tackle, who had nothing to do with it, really, in the back and then mock him to his face. So, you know, and again, I don't know their personal relationship, but I think most people agree with you. And, you know, you make good points, Demas, you do. But I just wish that Cam had handled this differently because we're talking about it today, and this will be talked about until there's something else to talk about.
We're talking with Trevor Maddich. And, Trevor, there was a really good in-depth article that Teron Davenport and Jeremy Fowler put together for ESPN, and it went back through a lot of the archives of first picks overall that have had a lot of turmoil and some impatience and pitfalls with the system around them. And there was a great quote in there, and I wish I had it right in front of me, but it's organizations fail quarterbacks just as often as quarterbacks fail. Something to that effect.
I have it right here. Okay. It was from Dave Ziegler, Titans assistant general manager. You got it, basically, Willie.
Okay.
Well, there's a saying that organizations fail quarterbacks more than quarterbacks fail themselves.
Okay, so let's use Bryce Young and Caleb Williams, who already have seen turnover, quite a bit of it, in the guys calling the shots for him. So the theme of the article is, what can the Titans learn from this? What have they learned? What have they seen? So as you think about that in a broad sense, Trevor, what comes to mind of what they have to avoid?
Well, I think it's a great thing to have to understand because it's a complex thing. I mean, that article is a wonderful article by TD and by Jeremy, and it was great. Everybody should go read that. But they talked about how the last two head coaches with a number one pick in the draft at quarterback were both fired before the season ended of that quarterback's rookie season. You know, and so there are a variety of reasons, I guess, for that, but it's not like you draft a quarterback number one and then everybody's all happy and rich and goes to the Super Bowl and has a party. And so, you know, I think that you're right, they're bad organizations. I mean, the Chicago Bears have long been known as a place where quarterback careers go to die. The New York Jets, same way. The New York Giants, since Eli, same way. And so we'll see how Daniel Jones does, who was signed from the Giants by the Colts now, and he's their starting quarterback. We'll see if all of a sudden he flourishes where he couldn't in New York. And so, you know, really it comes down to a couple of things that the Titans are saying the right things about. It's about continuity with coaches. It's about learning the quarterback's abilities and the things that he struggles with and tailoring the offense to his abilities first, protect him from what he struggles with so he can have success while you're working on some of those other things. These are things that they're trying to do with Cam Ward, and I think that's one of the reasons that even after a miserable season last year, they retained this staff. So it's the same head coach, same quarterback coach, same offensive coordinator, and this is all good for Cam Ward's development because he's not having to learn new things. But part of it, too, is Cam Ward, because it's not just that organizations fail quarterbacks. Sometimes quarterbacks fail organizations as well. And I kind of think that it's a little bit of both up in Chicago with Caleb Williams. And Cam Ward needs to make sure that he has a personal humbleness to go with a professional arrogance. The professional arrogance means on the field he's got to believe that he's great. But the personal humbleness needs to be that he knows that he's not great yet and he has a lot to learn. And in order for him to maximize his career and his responsibility to his teammates, he needs to do things within the offense the way he's coached and not run around and make plays on his own from his talent like he used to do in college. And the degree to which Cam can submit to that personal humbleness will be the degree to which he does not fail the organization. I think up in Chicago with Caleb Williams, it's a great example. Caleb didn't have, I think, the coaching around him and the personnel around him to do the things that might have maximized his natural talent. But I think his natural tendency is to do what he did that got him the Heisman Trophy and to be the first pick in the draft. And if somebody tells him to do something different, he doesn't want to do it. Right? Cam has to avoid that.
Trevor, real quick, we got about a shorter answer for this, but I want to get your perspective because we had a couple of good different ones. Based on Cam's performance against the Falcons, right? The stats don't look good, but he clearly took some shots down the field and maybe passed on some check down throws that might have made the stats look easier, might have kept some drives alive. Dan Orlovsky in particular said, hey, I'd rather have a guy test the boundaries a little bit in a preseason game. Are you okay with that philosophy, or are you more, you would like to have seen him take what the defense gives him a little bit more?
I'm okay with that philosophy right now because part of what he needs to know is what are the limitations of his receivers? What can they do down the field? And, you know, as long as once he gets into the regular season, he takes what's there because there's always something there. The defense will always give him something. He needs to recognize that quickly and get the ball there. But, you know, he had some very nice throws that were not complete, that were almost complete, but that were just beautiful. And I thought on a couple of them, the receiver could have done a better job of laying out for the football. But overall, I was, even though he was 2 for 7, I think, against the Falcons, I thought Cam did some really good things that built from the first preseason game. And so I actually am not upset about some of the things that statistically don't look that good because I saw some growth.
Trevor Maddich has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. He is brought to you weekly by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks, guys.
Trevor Maddich on the program. We will react to what Trevor had to say because he had a strong take on Cam Ward's involvement in the skirmish with Jeffrey Simmons, and we did get some reaction on our text line during Trevor's segment that we will read. But if you have any sort of reaction, you let us know at 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Joey from Bellevue on our text line says, Trevor, bring in the heat. His segments are always great. We concur, Joey from Bellevue. By the way, be listening at the end of this segment because we do have tickets to give away. At the end of this segment, I will give you the cue to call, and you can win a 4-pack of tickets to see the Mexican national team face off against Korea Republic at Geodis Park on Tuesday, September 9th. So if you want a chance for those tickets, be listening at the end of this segment. I will give you the cue to call, what caller number you have to be. Again, a 4-pack of tickets to see the Mexican national team face off against Korea Republic at Geodis Park on Tuesday, September 9th. Trevor, as Joey said, bringing the heat on Cam Ward. We've spent so much time talking about Jeffrey Simmons, we haven't talked about Cam Ward. Trevor did not like how Cam Ward handled this, according to the various reports out of camp yesterday. He called it, quote-unquote, ridiculously immature of Cam Ward to do what he did. He made sure to note that he doesn't think that Cam Ward is generally ridiculously immature, but he thought what he did to instigate what happened yesterday, because from what we have read, Ward was the instigator. Jeffrey Simmons was running a little hot after a previous play, as Teron Davenport told us yesterday, but Cam Ward rubbed it in a little, and Jeffrey Simmons did not take kindly to that. So, Willie, Derek, what did you think of Trevor's take on Cam Ward's involvement in all of this?
I see one point that he made, and that is, if he doesn't do that, none of this happens, right? He started off a chain of events, and everybody's got to deal with that chain of events, for better or worse. And as he mentioned, you know, a fight could break out. You have to understand that. I still stand by what I said yesterday, because so I'm coming up short of ridiculously immature, because I like a guy that wants to keep the competitive nature of a practice stoked. And if that means I stir it up a little bit, that's okay, especially for a franchise that desperately needs a little juicing up, a little shake up. They need, as you said a number of times yesterday, Derek, an alpha dog. He was willing to push the envelope there. But I see his point. If he doesn't do that, because he did that, Jeffrey Simmons has got to deal with the whole fallout of it. Jeffrey Simmons isn't a perfect human being. And it does bring to light one thing that we haven't discussed yet. Cam Ward still has to face the music with the reporters on this. So he needs to be ready, a rookie quarterback. And I do think he'll handle it well. And he probably will get a little easier treatment than Jeffrey Simmons because he's a rookie. And I do think he will take some accountability for what happened there.
Listen. I don't think. What Trevor said was right. I go back to what I said previously to Trevor after listening to him. Because of what happened 2 weeks prior, it may not have been the same situation. They may not have been in the exact same situation. But because there was this, you know, back and forth with the quarterback in the most prominent defensive guy you have, he felt once again that, okay, I can do it again. The part that I do believe Trevor was talking about and called immature was the bumping of the defensive player who has just been in a tussle with somebody just as big as he is and just as strong, and he got dominated on that play. So now you're everything's going, you're fueled up, you're, anything can set you off, and then your quarterback comes and do what he normally does, do what he did 2 weeks ago, and rub it in a little bit, or a little bit more than what he did prior. In his mind, he thinks, oh, the same thing's going to happen. We just going to talk. But Jeffrey turns around and mush him. All right? Yeah, you were wrong as a quarterback. Yes, that's an immature act, an act of undevelopment, so to speak, in this game. But it still doesn't, you know, give you the right to then turn around and do what you did, because it's your quarterback. Now, again, I understand it. I get it. I know what Trevor's talking about. The only reason it happened, I'm telling you, it's because he did it before and there wasn't a big hoopla about it. Actually, what did we talk about? It's good that they did that. Isn't that what we were talking about? Across
in the
all
OTAs.
These all across these airwaves. That's good that Cam, somebody finally went back at Big Jeff. But now we don't like this. Like, you can't do that now. Jeff, you can't touch the quarterback. You can't, Jeff, touch the quarterback. I get that part. But Cam did it because he did it once, and it was okay with everybody. So he feel this is Jeff and I's, you know, a relationship.
At the end of the day, this really isn't that big of
a
deal.
Yeah, it's not. But I get what Trevor was saying.
Right. But it's. I don't think it's really that much of a distraction. It's a slow news day. Mm-hmm. It's a competitive practice. It's a team that is fighting for an identity. And you've got two major characters in that story. And in this town especially, there's not much else going on right now. So it's drama. It's a soap opera.
The best bad teams are the ones that have drama. The Titans have been the worst kind of bad team recently. The bad, boring team, at least in my opinion.
Will Levis was not boring.
I guess that's true.
Nah, he was anything but boring.
You love the chaos of Will Levis.
You might be right about that. Kevin on our text line says, along similar lines to what Willie was just saying, the only people that think this is an issue is the media. This is not a negative thing. Guys, this is football. It's not a corporate office. These things happen. These things need to happen. If they don't happen, that means you have a team full of softies, which we've had for a long time. Glad it happened. No issues with Cam or Jeff on this one. It's football. I don't really have anything to disagree on Kevin's take on it. I will just say what I said earlier. This is absolutely a story. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was blown out of proportion. But again, when the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, who also happens to be a quarterback, that heightens things. Not only was he the number one overall pick, he's a quarterback. When that player gets into a tussle with the best player on the team, the player who ranked, what, fourth at his position in Jeremy Fowler's positional rankings, talking to league execs and such. When those two players butt heads at practice, that is a story. Mm-hmm. We'll see if there are any tremors that follow. It doesn't look like there will be. But, hey, if it motivates both sides of the ball, could only be a good thing. 615-737-1025. All right, I promised a giveaway. Here it is. Again, a four-pack of tickets to see the Mexican national team face off against Korea Republic at Geodis Park Tuesday, September 9th. Be caller number 4 at 615-737-1025, and you will win that four-pack of tickets to see the Mexican national team face off against Korea Republic at Geodis Park on Tuesday, September 9th. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game.